A reading from the letter of St. Paul to Titus. Beloved, remind them to be under the control of magistrates and authorities, to be obedient, to be open to every good enterprise. They are to slander no one, to be peaceable, considerate, exercising all graciousness toward everyone. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deluded, slaves to various desires and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful ourselves and hating one another. But when the kindness and generous love of God our Savior appeared, not because of any righteous deeds we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the bath of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he richly poured out on us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. Verbum Domini. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul.
The Lord is my shepherd.
He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." As they were going, they were cleansed, and one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? None but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God. Then he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has saved you. Verbum Domini.
Laus tibi Christe.
In the late 1800s, this country was given a great gift. A woman so committed and dedicated to Jesus Christ, one who gives her life in service to the Lord. Through harsh sufferings in the form of physical illness and being misunderstood and in the face of opposition of her work. But yet in all of these sufferings, this saint that we celebrate today, Saint Francis Xavier Cabrini, shows us perseverance and shows us that even in times of hardship and difficulty and suffering, that we can accomplish much for the kingdom of God. And what we can learn from this saint and many others is one of the important things about persevering through anything and serving the Lord in any kind of circumstance. The important thing is here is to rejoice and to give thanks to God. Well, how do we do that? I mean, when something hurts us, when we are under trial or stress, when everything appears to be going wrong, why would anyone want to rejoice and give thanks? But there is where, in the sufferings, is where we truly meet Jesus Christ. And it is there where our capacity to love like God and to act like God is found in Jesus the Lord. And so here today, Jesus is out and about in this gospel reading, and he is on his way to Jerusalem and meets some lepers. And the lepers immediately cry out to him. They perhaps heard about his fame and the stories of his miracles. And they say, Jesus, have pity on us. And Jesus immediately shows them pity. He heals them. And, at this time in the world and in this region and among especially the Hebrew Jewish people, is they considered lepers as outcasts. And to be close to them or to touch them, one would automatically become impure. But yet here is Jesus embracing them. Here is Jesus coming to them and healing them. No, he's not afraid of getting sick. He's not afraid of any accusation or being considered impure. He just loves. And so Jesus heals these people. Of course, there's only one that gives thanks. Jesus gives them a command, go and tell the priest go and see the priest. And so already in themselves, there's already faith going on here. And they know that when somebody was to be considered healed, they would have to be approved by the priest. the priest, once giving their approval that they're healed, then they can get back into regular life and go about living in society. Well, Jesus, you know, he tells them this, and they go off, and there they go. Only one turns back and says, thank you. He says, thank you to the Lord. And, of course, Jesus acknowledges this, and he commends this man, this leper, this Samaritan, for thanking him. And we can learn a great deal here in this passage. First of all, here is Jesus, is it his love, and you know his ability to do all things, his love for us. Here is the mercy of Jesus to help us, to strengthen us, forgive our sins, to raise us up. Here we can experience the goodness of Jesus the Lord. And what's great about this, about learning about these miracle stories of Jesus and his encounters with people, all peoples, his acceptance of all peoples, is that he does this with such charity, and you know, it's so effective, lives are changed. And he does this to us. And at the same time, he's not only giving us this kind of love, showing us his tender mercy, his generosity, his goodness, is that he now gives to us his grace so that we can extend the same love, so that we can go to the outcast, so that we too can love as he loves, and doing acts of mercy, generosity and goodness, giving people a chance, being generous with them, helping them in their need, just as he does. He gives us everything we need to do that. And that is reason to rejoice and to thank the Lord always. So we look at like the various lives of the saints we celebrate today. You know, Frances Xavier Cabrini, you know, she was born in of course like 1850. You know, she you know was a very bright young lady, you know, growing up loving the Lord, intelligent, you know, at the age of 18 or so, wanting to become a sister, but yet she was too sick and too frail. They didn't accept her, but yet she went about doing good works anyway. And this was recognized by clergy. And so she was encouraged to start her own religious community. The Missionary Sisters of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. You know, there she is, you know. And then, you know, here come more sisters. They start just with seven, you know, and then this multiplies. This is in Italy here. And, you know, they're going out, you know, helping homeless, helping the sick, you know, eventually starting houses and things like that. And, you know, this is being such a powerful work, and many people are benefiting from her charity and that of the sisters, that word gets to the Pope, you know, Pope Leo XIII. And so the Pope Leo is very encouraged by her and then asks her to go to the New World, to America, to New York, to minister to the Italian immigrants migrating into the United States. So, of course, you know, she wanted to go out to the east, to China, but he tells her, go west. So there she is, she goes west. No, and, you know, they arrive in New York around 1889. And there in New York, you know, upon arrival, I mean, everything just seems to fall apart. You know, the housing that was promised them is not ready yet. You know, the money that was supposed to be given to them does not come in. And so they, you know, are forced to live in very harsh conditions. You know, as someone once said that it was kind of like living in a stable or something. You know, they're living in very filthy lodging. But yet the sisters say, hey, they're not destroyed by this. You know? They says, okay, we love the Lord and their people a prayer. You know, women, holy women of God, a prayer, rejoicing in the Lord, thanking him. Well, how would you rejoice in that kind of circumstance? You know, things are not going your way. You're living there in very dirty conditions and circumstances. You know, you don't have any money. Well, what do you do? Well, okay, so you're in prayer. But then you have the grace of Jesus Christ. And this grace of Jesus Christ is what causes us to rejoice. Because then now, with this grace, we look to Jesus, who's already been through this life. You know, he lived in those difficult circumstances, those harsh conditions. He was born in a stable. You know, he was poor. He relied on others for his sustenance and his means of living. And so here are the sisters. Oh, no, now we have a chance to live like Jesus. No, and so this is cause for rejoicing. Because now, you know, now there's no, okay, now here goes out the negativity. And now our eyes are solely on the Lord. Because then now we're just looking at him and to see how he lived. Then we're reading and listening to his words so that we can think and act like him. And hey, here it is. Here's the greatest opportunity to conform ourselves to Jesus Christ. And that is cause for thanksgiving. That's how we can thank him in all circumstances. See, and when we're doing that, when we're rejoicing, when we're thanking, we cannot be defeated. We become unstoppable. Jesus here first. Here I am, being like him, who's given me this opportunity. Even though it hurts, but he's given me this opportunity to glorify him by putting him first, by now being able to identify with his life, death, and resurrection. How powerful is that? Now that's truly living in the Holy Spirit of God. And then we think of our own St. Francis of Assisi. Now he speaks about times of suffering, you know, like also times of rejoicing. He's telling one day, give this to you briefly. One day he's telling a brother, Brother Leo, St. Francis says, hey, when would you rejoice? He says, okay, if you had all these people converted, if the order had all this multiplication of brothers and things, is that reason for rejoicing? He says, no. He says, well, what if the, he says, here's reason of rejoicing. Say, you go to your house, your own brothers, they meet you at the door when it's cold and dark and stormy, and then they throw you out in the street. That is perfect joy when we can rejoice in any circumstance, any hardship. Because there we are rejoicing with Jesus. There we are meeting Jesus in his own suffering. And when we meet Jesus in his own suffering, there we meet the most purest and truest, this agape love. And there it is. There is our capacity to love like Jesus in return. And so, brothers and sisters, we can be inspired by this witness of Jesus today, by, of course, this saint, Francis Xavier Cabrini, you know, and we can make this our own. We can be like Jesus in any circumstance. We could accept, we can love like him. And whatever it is we're going through, whatever hardship we have, difficulties, suffering, trial, trouble, hey, Jesus has been through it. And so we look to him now. He says, Jesus, give me this grace. Help me to be like you in my own suffering. And then, hey, here's the God of all grace, the God of all consolation, who helps us in our way. And so we can truly now rejoice and thank God always for the mercy shown us, for the grace that he's given. God bless you all.